You're tuned to Life Matters. My name's Angela Catterns. Thank you for tuning in. It's estimated that over 10,000 families live with autism spectrum disorder, and the number of children diagnosed with the disorder is said to be on the increase. So most teachers at some stage in their career will have a child with an autism spectrum disorder in their classroom. Our next two guests have benefited from an online initiative called Positive Partnerships, which fosters a greater understanding of autism and teaches both parents and teachers useful strategies to help improve the child's school experience. So joining us is Tracy Harris. She's a teacher at the mainstream St Clair's Catholic Primary School at Narellan Vale in Sydney. Hello, welcome, Tracy.
Hello, Angela.
And Steve Draculis, who's a father of a nine-year-old boy, George, who's just started in a mainstream primary school in the St George area of Sydney. Hello there, Steve.
Hi, Angela.
Lovely to have you both on the show. So perhaps you can explain to us, first of all, what it's all about, how it works, Tracy.
Sure. Well, I've been teaching now for 5 years, and in each of those 5 years, I have had students in my class with an ASD, being autism spectrum disorder. And I was approached last year by my school principal to attend the Positive Partnerships workshops, that being 4 workshops and then taking on a school project mm-hmm. that we completed last year very successfully.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work, though? Is it all online? Or just explain to us how it works,
sure.
If you will.
Sure. I attended 4 face-to-face workshops mm-hmm. with the network. And then beyond that, there were opportunities for networking online with discussion posts and forums, and an opportunity to meet at the end of the workshops to share our successes and challenges that we met along the way.
Mm. Tell us what your experience with teaching classes is when one or two children in the class have an autism spectrum disorder. What sort of behaviour might you be dealing with?
Well, children with ASDs generally require very well-structured routines in place, so that's something that I need to build into my classroom from the get-go, the beginning of every year. We have rolled out a whole school approach to teaching with an inclusive approach around the area of ASD. We understand that all students, regardless if they have an ASD or not, benefit from these strategies. Mm-hmm. So something we've rolled out this year is the use of a visual timetable, which explains the routine of our day. And we encourage all students to come up and interact with the visual timetable, making changes as they occur and taking tasks off as we accomplish them.
So what is that, on a big blackboard or a whiteboard somewhere? How
yeah,
does that work?
Yeah, we've actually got Velcro walls so we can okay. stick ours onto the wall, but anywhere is fine. In this digital age, you can do it on your smart board or just on the whiteboard.
And why is that important for kids with ASD?
Well, children with ASD like predictability. So if they can learn their routine and predict what they're going to do next, or see a possible end to a task and know what's coming next, and gives them something to look forward to. And I think all people in our day-to-day, whether we keep a diary or a timetable, we all like to work to structure.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can give them that support, then that only makes for a more smooth day for everyone in the classroom.
Yes. I might get some more examples from you in a minute, sure. Tracy, about how this works. But Steve, tell us about George, your son.
Well, George is 9 years old, and as he refers to himself as the autism awesome boy, he's an amazing little boy. He was diagnosed at 2.5. We had by that stage seen that he was missing quite a few milestones, and we had him looked at. But at the same time, he was also showing us some amazing abilities. He's been able to read and write since 2. I saw him typing Uncle John on the computer at age 2.5, and so we've been trying to foster all his abilities. He entered a preschool that had a special needs teacher who was the best thing that ever happened to us, and she just fostered him for a couple of years and worked closely with him and developed a lot of the skills. Because with autism, the neuropathways that normal children form naturally, they're not formed naturally. So we, you need to try to teach them these behaviours. Mm. So from there, George moved on to a special needs school, the Southeastern School for Children with Autism. He moved through that. They graduated him into a satellite class for 2 years, which was the idea being to groom him, get him ready for mainstream. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not all children will make it that far. They'll never be ready for a stereotypical environment, but George was one of the fortunate children, and he's now moved into our local primary school. He's completed his first year, and he's going great.
Oh, that's great, isn't it? You must be thrilled.
I am absolutely thrilled to bits. And hearing someone like Tracy, who's at the teacher's end of things, being so involved and aware and wanting to help our children is just so encouraging.
Tracy, tell me what it's like. How is the rest of the class affected by having a child in that class with ASD?
I think the children understand that, well, at our school, I can only speak from at our school level, the children in our community are very aware that we all have our strengths and our weaknesses and our gifts and talents. And so we really try to nurture that and put the focus on that in our classrooms and understanding that everybody is different. But as I said before, Angela, these strategies that we put in place to benefit children with ASD really help to support all children as learners. Mm-hmm. I like to think while children with autism are generally visual learners, I think that the rest of us are as well.
Uh-huh.
Even to the point, you know, if we look at the road signs and all of the visuals that are around in our everyday life, we all require those to help us get through our day.
Tell us about the fantastic strategy that you happened upon involving giving the kids digital cameras.
Sure. Well, at our school, we actually have two kids clubs, one which has children involved from kindergarten to year two, an infants kids club, and then a primary group from 3 to 6. And I've been lucky enough to work with the children in the infants kids club. And last year I just decided to give them each a digital camera. And we went out together on the playground and they were asked if they could just take some photographs for me showing some areas in the playground which they found to be safe, areas that they like to play in, and then also areas that they maybe found intimidating, areas that they'd like to avoid, or places where they'd go to retreat and hide if things were getting a bit too much for them on the playground. And the photographs came back very interesting and quite common within the group of children that I had, and we'd then project them up on our smart board, and it generated great conversation and gave me a lot of insight for the future planning that I would take on board for my kids' club.
Can you just share with us those insights? What were the areas of the playground that the kids liked and the other areas that they stayed away from?
Okay, well, intimidating places or spaces on the playground were those spaces that had large foot traffic, so where lots of people were playing, I suppose, less structured games and activities, maybe lots of running. Also, generally, those spaces were quite loud, so the children found that to be intimidating. Mm-hmm. Maybe darker in appearance as well, sheltered areas, they'd stay away from there. And then the photographs showing the safe places were more open around the trees and gardened areas of our school.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
that is amazing. So, Steve, I understand that your son has superpowers. Tell us about that.
Okay. When we decided that it was time for us to explain George's autism to him, I thought the best approach was to focus on his strengths. A lot of children with autism have strengths in some areas. So the fact that George has been able to read and write and computers, and especially computers, for so long. So I explained to him that, or I said to him, you know how, Georgie, you have all these amazing abilities that other children your age don't have. Well, that comes from something called autism. Now, autism gives you this superpower and it allows you to be really, really good at some things. But just like Superman has his weaknesses, autism also makes a few things extra hard for you. It doesn't stop you from doing anything. It just means you have to try a little bit extra hard and listen to your teachers and your parents, and you can do those as well. And George accepted that. And we celebrate his superpowers whenever he shows us an achievement that's amazing. We explain to him that that comes from autism. And just as when he's having a meltdown or frustrated or confused with something, we try and explain that that is from autism. So remember, you need to focus on people that can help you. Mm-hmm. So we work with him to get through that. But I find the superpower really helps him.
And I imagine you need the odd bit of help yourself, do you, Steve? I think you run a parent support group, is that right?
I do. I'm involved with Positive Partnerships myself, and both as a parent and as a facilitator. Over time, I've developed a bit of a support network around Sydney. There's about 90 families now involved, and we have support groups all over the place. There's 6 groups at the moment. Mm. But Positive Partnerships basically has allowed me to do all that. Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think you have an online forum, a parent forum. Is that right?
Yes. There's twofold. There's the Positive Partnerships Interactive Online Portal, which is part of autismtraining.com.au. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. It lets parents get on there, whether they can attend a workshop or not. They can learn so much through it, do a lot of the modules from the workshop. And it's geared up as a video presentation as well, so no matter where you are in Australia, you can tap into it. And there's also a website that the amount of wonderful information that parents share with each other that I've started to just put it all together. So people can go on at any time. It's autismcommunity.com.au. Mm-hmm. And anytime a parent asks a question, we just put it out to other parents. And it's amazing. We all have shared experiences and what's worked for us, what hasn't, and we help each other.
That's fantastic. And so, Tracy, what further developments would you like to see in this area? It sounds like you're becoming a bit of a specialist, are you?
Oh, it's definitely a passion of mine. At a school level, I think we've really taken on a whole school approach, and we're working towards making our school more autism friendly. But I think greater awareness is really what's needed in the wider community. So I encourage any teachers, any parents, to really go to the Positive Partnerships website at positivepartnerships.com.au, and people will be surprised at the level of support that is available, regardless of any negative experiences that people may have had. There are people out there, as Steve said, living this every day, and we need to be out there communicating with each other. We can only learn from each other as we support each other.
Mm. Oh, good on you. It's such a positive story, Positive Partnerships. Thank you both so much for coming in and telling us all about
it. Thank you, Angela.
Tracy Harris, who is a teacher at St. Clair's Catholic Primary School at Narellan Vale in Sydney. And we also spoke to Steve Drakoulis, who's the father of a 9-year-old George, who's just started in a mainstream primary school in the St. George area of Sydney. And we'll have details of the Positive Partnerships program on our website, abc.net.au/rn/lifematters.